Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast.
That wasn't as enthusiastic as
it doesn't
normal.
Have to be the same every time.
Wow, this is really aggressive.
This is my aggressive one, yes.
Jeez.
All right, today we're going to talk about art and what inspires the artists of Penny Arcade. And so we have a special guest. And who is this guest?
Does he count as guest? Does he count as staff?
No, that's why he's a special guest.
Oh, okay. It's me, Mike.
Mike.
The Mike Krahulik.
Yeah, it's Mike. Who else is here?
Kiko.
Erica.
Jerry.
Handsome Jerry.
You're not an artist, Jerry.
Handsome Filipino Jerry.
Handsome Jerry. Ethnic Jerry.
Yeah.
Ethnic
Jerry.
All right, so who wants to start with their stories of why they became
I think Mike
an
is
artist.
Well-versed in telling his story.
I got into art because it was really the only thing I was good at in elementary school, and it kept me out of recess. The first time I noticed that I was good at anything artistic was when I started making decorations for Halloween out of construction paper. I made like a little Frankenstein, and the teacher liked it and asked if I could make her some more. And I got to stay in at recesses and make construction paper Halloween decorations for all the different classes.
That's pretty sweet.
That was when I knew I was amazing.
Okay.
Kiko?
Well, I don't have any extraordinary story like that.
No construction paper breaks?
No Halloween, no holidays. Just watching Robotech on the TV, drawing robots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can do this, or I attempted to, yeah. And people seemed to think it was good.
That bang was me banging my knee really hard on the table.
This
right
is not the table
of Kiko's
for that.
Story.
It is if you try hard enough.
And my dad did art. He was sort of an artist. Like
He's a chili artist.
That's true.
I know that.
He makes really good chili. But he had done it. He had done it before. But I guess that's where I got it from.
What did he do?
He drew and did paintings in college, but
really?
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's how I got started.
I mean, was he looking to be an artist? No, he's just
I don't think so.
Just kind of doing
we
it.
We never really talked
him.
About it.
Why did you make the switch from, you said you drew robots. Why did you make the switch from drawing?
Because I wasn't a very good drawer.
To graphic art.
I wasn't that great of an artist.
It's drawler.
Drawler, whatever.
It's an L.
Yeah, I draw.
But I learned in high school that, like I talked about on a previous podcast that you don't listen to.
You guys do podcasts?
In high school, there was a print shop / graphic communication class.
And you realize you had the eye for
I
design.
Guess, yeah.
I remember getting into drawing I was going to read anything that had cats in it, and I used to read the Garfield comics in the newspaper at my grandparents', and people would buy me the Garfield books.
Those long books?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were great.
I read those a lot.
So I was maybe like 6 or 7, I guess. And my mom worked as like a secretary at like the county clerk's office or something like that, where she would bring home carbon paper before there was like, you know, copy machines were super common and everything. So she would bring me home carbon paper and I would trace over Garfield. And then I would like trace over that same drawing over and over and over again and make panels of comics and stuff and make my own Garfield comics. Huh. And so that was like the earliest thing I remember. And then I liked writing, and so I would make little books. I would make like little. I remember making little books about dinosaurs and stuff like that, writing and illustrating them, and writing sequels to books that I had read. Like essentially, like so I was making
fanfic?
Garfield fanfic, and I was making. you remember the Stinky Cheese Man? Remember that book?
No.
They wouldn't know it, but you might. I remember writing a sequel to the Stinky Cheese Man, and like and similar to you, like I had brought it into school. And my kindergarten teacher was like, "Oh, this is really cool," and I liked that praise.
Yeah,
and
praise.
So I kept doing it. Yeah. My mom said I used to make them like once every week. I would have some book because I liked being told that you know I did a good job.
I got started in, I guess, graphic design when I was in high school. I started playing Tribes, and like I got into it so much that I. that I started going on forums and stuff like that. And like the thing that I was most fascinated by were people's signatures. And I was like, oh, I want to learn how to do that.
Oh, yeah, the sigs.
Yeah. And so like I I borrowed a copy of Photoshop on the internet, and I
and from I slowly, my friend Juarez.
I slowly tried to like just mimic signatures and create my own, and then like again, this ties back in the tribes where like I joined the clan, and then I designed the clan's webpage.
So you went from zero art to forum signatures?
I did just regular art classes, you know.
But you didn't find it exciting or interesting?
Yeah, did you do anything on the side before that or anything?
No, I mean, I drew.
Forum sigs were what inspired you.
No, like to get me into graphic design.
Did you draw as a little kid?
Well, but I drew, art in general.
Yeah. I mean, art in general, it's like I just took regular art classes throughout school, like middle school, high school.
What'd you draw as a kid?
I copied stuff, like I drew nature and stuff like that, like the assignments they give you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I never really,
But you wouldn't draw in your free time? Like you wouldn't just sit in your room and draw?
No.
Too many girls, probably. Asshole.
Well, that's interesting. So, like, I guess the next step would be, like, what got me into the digital, like, the next part of, like, realizing that this thing that I liked could be a career is I remember that all I cared about was art and music, and I knew I wanted to make a career out of either of them. And my mom was very supportive, knowing full well that those were both incredibly ambitious career paths. And so what made me choose art is I remember we all had Zanga pages, all my friends, and I wanted to like make my Zanga page really cool. So I would make like little...
I don't know what Zanga is.
I don't know
it's like
is
Live
either.
Journal. Okay. Like it's that kind of thing. Okay.
GeoCities.
Well, no, because it was like a blogging thing. But I had a GeoCities site too. And it's like that was what taught me HTML, was learning how to customize the colors on my Zanga page and stuff.
You wanted to have a cool site.
Yeah, and I remember using MS Paint as if it was Photoshop before I had Photoshop, where I would, like, I didn't realize it at the time because I had never used Photoshop, but I was basically mimicking layers where I would open up like 8 MS Paint documents because remember everything was flat.
Right.
And I would like, but essentially treat each one like a layer and copy and paste into other files to like create some like layered image What I realized actually very recently, which I think is pretty funny, is I attribute like having this job now, like being at this point in my career as a creative, in such huge part to Homestar Runner that it sounds like silly to say. But so Homestar Runner came about in 2001, and so I went to Full Sail in 2004, and so in 2001 I was doing this HTML, doing this Photoshop thing, and playing music, not sure what to do. And then I found Homestar Runner, and I was like, oh man, these animations are so cool. Like, how are they doing this? And so I figured out that there was this thing called Flash. So I downloaded Flash, learned how to draw in Flash, learned how to animate in Flash, learned how to program in Flash, and then found out that the school Full Sail had this digital media department, and that you learned Photoshop, and that you learned Flash. And as soon as I saw that you learned Flash, I'm like, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. And that's what transitioned me, was seeing Homestar Runner and being like, oh my God, I want to make this kind of stuff. And I just used to make all kinds of little dumb animations and dumb Flash sites just to practice.
Wow. Then you end up here.
What is that?
Straight to here. Straight to here.
Right after that.
Well, when I went to Full Sail, that's where I met Rex. He was a classmate.
Oh, really?
And Rex told me about Penny Arcade.
Oh, wow, I have him to thank, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I grew up reading Oni Press comics before I ever had read a webcomic. I was reading...
Scott Pilgrim. And
even before Scott Pilgrim, I was reading Hopeless Savages and Blue Monday, which were sort of like punk high school slice of life strips. Hmm. What made you go digital?
Mine was a long story on how I got to Penny Arcade. I don't know if we have enough time.
Go for it.
I have 5 minutes.
You can always make it shorter.
Are you not done with the comic?
No, I'm not done with it. Why would I? It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Why would I be done?
So, digital. When I started this graphic communications course in high school, digital was just starting for graphic design.
Yeah.
Like that's when, you can do this on a Mac. There was typesetting machines in that
classroom
workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Individual letters it was kind of weird, and I'm sort of kicking myself for not stealing any of them because it was super cool.
I didn't have any digital art in school either.
But like it was like a year or 2 years before I started this class where they actually opened up a computer lab in the shop with Macs, and you know, all of a sudden you're doing outputs rather than taking going in and creating a film and developing it so that you can burn these screens for screen printing.
Mm-hmm.
So it started there. I liked it. I did well. My parents saw that this was probably what I was going to get into because I talked about it on a previous podcast. I was not into school at all.
Yeah.
So they took the money, in quotations points, of whatever they were going to spend on whatever college I was going to probably not do, and buy me this whole setup, Mac, laser printer, scanner, in 1994, 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know how much that was.
Yeah.
A lot of money. So I could do this stuff at home and not rely on the school to do it. So from there, graduated high school, tried to take graphic communications courses at community college, but like I said, it was not into school.
Join the club.
I was super into school.
Yeah. Same here.
It was, so I was going to start my second semester of college, literally the day of classes.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from GTE Imagitrek. So the story there is, I played soccer throughout my entire childhood. When you play soccer, you start to, you know, you make connections with other families because of the people you play with.
Sure.
One of the kids, his name's Caleb, who's now a professor at, I'm blanking on the, Howard University.
That makes more sense.
super smart guy, really good at soccer. His mom was a programmer at GTE.
Mm.
So through the connection there, I was able to acquire all of the software.
Yeah.
So Photoshop, like version 1 Photoshop, Director.
Oh my God, I love Director.
Yeah,
I
was screwing around with Director in high school.
Yeah, I didn't get into it till Full Sail.
Yeah.
So I got to play with these things in high school back when they were all brand new. So I was able to become skilled by just screwing around with these programs. So the opportunity came to do temp work at GTE where my friend's mom was,
sure,
you know, a really talented programmer. So they were looking for temps. I went up and interviewed. It was more like a favor, so I didn't expect it to come of anything. And they were really nice, and I was still like 18, so I don't know, back then you didn't hire young people for back in those days. So literally on the first day of semesters, I got a call that they wanted to bring me in. So that ended my
college career.
Non-existent college career. So I ended up starting there doing temp work, ironically on the game with for the movie license of Tank Girl.
Oh yeah.
So I was cleaning up. It was a really terrible movie.
I just watched it again the other day.
Are you serious?
It's a cultural artifact. It's horrible. But it's so good at being horrible.
Time capsule.
Yeah. You have to watch it. It's a relic.
So anyways, we were working on the game for that movie. Mm. And the movie bombed horribly. So the game eventually obviously got canceled. But I was cleaning up digital sprites of Lori Petty. Because it was going to be a 2D side-scrolling platformer.
It was literally Tank Girl, the movie, the game.
Yeah,
it
wasn't, absolutely.
It was the comic, the movie, the game, instead of the comic, the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
So, of course, I'm an 18-year-old kid working at a game studio.
That's
awesome. I didn't leave.
Yeah.
So, of course, people are impressed by that. I mean, I did good work. And eventually, you know, talked my way on to other projects and eventually got hired on.
Full-time.
And did that until 2002.
When you started GameSkins?
I started GameSkins in 2000 while I was still working.
Oh,
there.
While you were still there.
That's when Levin and I were born.
In the process,
you're joking, right?
In the process, it turned into GT Entertainment. They stopped doing games and then turned into GTE Internetworking. So that's why I learned
words together.
That's where I learned
networking.
Yeah, because they turned us into an internet shop, because that's when it's like the late 90s to the early 2000s. That's when the internet, you know, came to be. So we had to make websites for the phone company that we worked at. Well, no, I mean, it was cool because.
Oh, yeah, sounds awesome.
Well, no, I learned, you know, how to make websites.
Sure.
How to make web graphics, because that's what they needed us to do. And it just happened to be, it was like an education.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were paying me at the same time. So, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So I started GameSkins in 2000.
Those are the gloves that you
No,
played.
They're not. Shut up.
And then, but they had like patches for the different games. And if you
do
beat someone.
Do you want to tell that story?
There's another company called GameSkins.
That was at E3 at the same time.
And he had his GameSkins, though. So Kiko's GameSkins were rad t-shirts. This guy's GameSkins were gloves, like fingerless gloves that you wore while you played video games. And they had patches for the different games. And you beat your friend at a game, you had to give him your patch.
Yeah.
And they put it on their glove.
Nice.
That obviously took off.
GameSkins.
It's just like it was the same year, the same show. Like the only time I... The only time I did E3.
Yeah. I mean, that was back when you could do E3.
Right. Because like that's when they had the Kentia.
Right.
the downstairs E3.
Yeah.
Anyways. So I started that in 2000. Met Mike and Jerry via that. I sent him a box of shirts because I had no way of advertising, because it's expensive to advertise on the internet, especially at that time.
Yeah.
You guys talked about it. I started selling shirts and then quit my job in 2002 to do GameSkins full time. Did that until 2005. You guys hired me.
That's when I graduated. And remember, Full Sail was a 1-year program. So if I had gone to Human College, I wouldn't have graduated until like.
You'd still be in school.
Yeah, I'd still be in school. No, oh God, when would I have graduated? Gross. I would have graduated in like.
2009?
Wait, like 2008 or 2009? Oh my God.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible.
But I mean, there's stories within stories with how GameSkins got started, and we'll save that for later. But I think that there is something to knowing people, because if I hadn't played soccer with that kid, I would never have gotten my opportunity at.
So aspiring artists.
Yeah.
Play soccer.
Play soccer. Seriously.
Play well.
Play a sport.
Or become a really huge Homestar Runner fan.
Right.
And realize that it was the nexus for your career and your entire sense of humor.
Or do what Levin did.
Marry that person.
Holy crap.
Be handsome.
Wow. I wouldn't have said that. Yeah, Levin, you snuck in here.
No, he didn't sneak in. It was a slow process.
It was.
Yeah, I actually I did a bunch of contract work for PA and Child's Play.
Right.
Prior to coming on.
How did you end up at Full Sail?
So like from high school and Tribe and stuff like that, I actually started taking courses I took a graphic design course in high school.
To make your SIGs better?
And it was funny because the first project we did, it was like this, it was for a label for a cassette tape.
Yeah. You know,
I remember when I turned it in, my teacher thought that I like stole it from something, like I stole the design from somewhere.
Oh wow.
And I was like, okay. And then I just quit that class, and then I started doing it just on my own. Just I made like fan art and shit for tribes and stuff like that. I started doing like skins and stuff like that. Like seriously, that was a huge part of my career early on. But
did you see our tribes comics we did? Back in the day?
No.
You didn't read Panera Kid?
No. I saw them
he
once.
He did when
once I met Erica.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to send him like, I read it all the time since 2004, since I knew about it on, but I would send like, I would vet the ones that I thought that he would really
and
like.
And pass them along.
Yeah,
they're really
the
good.
The ones that were like about games that really he was specifically playing and stuff like that.
Only the good stuff.
Years later, I'm laughing. I'm like, I remember that.
Well, I hasn't read the archive.
This This sounds like I'm truly sucking up, but I read Looney Games.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah, so I, from the first comic.
Yeah, that is a long time ago.
It was very long time ago.
Yep. So from there, I was going through college, and I still wasn't doing like graphic design professionally. My first job was actually, I saw a post on like one of the job boards for like and to get a credit, like you go to this print shop and you design there. And I was basically just doing like posters, prints, business cards.
Wasn't like an American Repro graphics kind of place.
It's one of those tiny. I was like the only graphic designer there and stuff like that. And so I had a lot of background in print, and then from there, that's when I decided that I actually want to do this as a career. Mm. And after college, I went to Full Sail from there.
Wow, so you did college and then went to Full Sail?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he did the bachelor's program at Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I did associates. That was 13 months. How long was your bachelor's?
You don't really need to do the bachelor's.
Yeah.
I mean, in this industry.
It was the launch of the program, too. When he and I went to Full Sail that year, he was like a month behind me because they did enrollment every month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That year was when they launched the bachelor's program. Like, we went still pretty young in the age of the school. Like, there were only four programs.
The time that we went, like, they taught design students, like, every field. So, like, print, web, motion, 3D.
You learned it all.
Yeah.
We learned how to film. Like, we nowadays, learned how to do green screen, lighting.
Learned film and everything like that.
3D modeling, 3D
nowadays, they separate it all.
Yeah.
Man, imagine if they had those schools when we were a kid.
That was ridiculous. No. Like, the education that we got, we lucked out, because now they did what makes sense to do, they split it off into more specialized programs. Yeah, but when we just got digital media, we just got like this jack of all trades.
Yeah, I mean, it felt more like a tech school, because like I went into Full Sail learning, or I knew Photoshop, and then I learned like Visual Studio Max. You know, I learned HTML, CSS there. I learned Flash, Director,
InDesign,
Illustrator. Like, I learned all that stuff at Full Sail.
Yeah, it wasn't an art school.
Yeah.
If you went there and you weren't a creative person and you didn't have, like, you know, good art skills, you weren't going to do very well. Or you were going to find something that didn't involve art as your career path. Like, maybe more of a developer
art, you're just going to learn the programs.
Role.
I see. So but, you're already an artist. You just want to learn the tools.
Yeah. So that was a great place to go if you had already had some sort of art, you know, instruction in high school or something. And I had like... I'd obviously taken every elective in high school I could that had art in it and art history and stuff like that.
Or if you already knew you were talented.
Yeah,
you had a talent.
You needed that base for sure. It's not an art school, but it's a good, it's such a, God, I don't even know what I'd call it, because it's not even like
a tech
school.
I want to say back then, like now they're gearing it towards that. Like, it's a full education.
You know,
education.
It's more of an art program.
Yeah. Yeah, I did what Kiko did. I tried to go to community college and it just didn't work for me.
It's so interesting. I loved school. Like,
I hated school.
Part of it was I liked getting told I did a good job. So I always want to get good grades. And I was good at memorizing, and that's most of what school
is. The issue
is
that if you don't do a good job, you don't get told that.
That's why you just always get good grades. Kiko, I've had one B in my life.
Yeah.
I was valedictorian at Full Sail.
I took geometry in high school in the senior year, which I was... in classes with my sister's friends, who was 2 years younger than me. I was not into school at all.
I liked school.
My criteria for Full Sail was, Mom, I want to go to college where I only have to learn the things that I want to learn. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to go to a college where I have to learn more history and more science.
I had thought about that, because there was a comic book school. Maybe it's still around. It was like the Joe Kubert School of...
Yeah, I think it's still around.
Is it still around? Uh-huh. Yeah. It was like specifically if you just want to draw comic books... And here's a school for you. And I did all the research and I was ready to go, but it was so far away. And at the time, like, I was so scared of leaving Spokane. I remember, like, I thought, no, I'll just go to the community college and take some art classes.
Is it one of those things where they send you a picture and you draw it and you send it back?
No. No. No, it's not one of those.
It was like...
The rainbow art school logo?
It's like,
that
here's
awesome.
Your degree.
You
did it.
Can you
You're
trace this owl?
It just says artist. it's like a comic book school.
Yeah, no, I had sort of the same thing. It was like before the schools at the type of Full Sail.
Mm-hmm. Like tech school.
There was it was like very new. It was the Academy of Art in San Francisco. and that was going to be a place where you only learn the things that you wanted to, but it was like a trade school, so it was very expensive.
Yeah.
We actually went up and checked it out, but it was outside the possibility and financial wise.
Mm-hmm. Was SCAD around back then?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I remember my mom and dad were pretty serious about me going to college, and so we'd come over to look at, I lived in Spokane, we drove over here to look at Cornish, the art school over here, and it was all fine art stuff, and I showed them my portfolio, uh-huh. And I remember them saying that, you know, you can draw, but your portfolio is all like Batman and superheroes, and we need to see more from you, and I remember thinking, like, this is all I want to draw. I don't want to do anything else, like, and so I did end up going to Cornish, and after I dropped out of community college, I had actually decided to take I'd gotten the books at Circuit City to take the manager courses. I said, this is my path. You know, I'm not horrible at it. I'll become a manager. And it was right around that time that we started putting Penny Arcade online. So thank God I didn't fucking stay at Circuit City.
The reason why I went to college prior to Full Sail was, like, I liked math a lot. So I was like, accounting, you do math.
You went to school for accounting?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, did you finish your schooling for accounting?
I finished that.
You can be an accountant.
So you could right now if we needed you to account. Account.
I don't like it.
I remember my first paying gig was doing some work for the Spokane Power Company. They were trying to create a coloring book for kids that they could hand out at schools that would be like power safety tips, like don't leave this thing plugged in or be sure to do, like, you know, that kind of thing. And so I had to draw these pictures of people being electrocuted in different ways. And so I drew like this whole coloring book. It was like a 15-page coloring book. And it was $100. I got paid $100 for it. And I remember driving with my mom. I was in high school. And seeing my artwork on billboards and buses, like, they ended up using it for their
They
used it for a whole campaign in Spokane. Awesome. Like, it was like their safety awareness campaign. It was all my cartoons.
I didn't have that moment until, like, I think it was PAX 2010.
Okay.
Where I think it was at the previous theater that we were at for Main Theater in Seattle. What was the name of it?
Maidenbauer?
No, before the Paramount.
We were just in the convention center.
Oh, no. You mean Ben Arroyo.
Yeah, Ben Arroyo.
Oh, Ben Arroyo, yeah.
They have those huge screens.
Yeah.
And then seeing the PAX logo that big.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was my first time that was pretty of cool. being exposed to that.
Yeah.
But as a kid?
As a kid, it was crazy, yeah. And, you know, I remember being equally excited and frustrated because I'd only gotten $100 for it.
Even as a
high school kid, I was like, that's not right. Because then I went on to do the Mark Kistler book. Did you guys watch Commander Mark?
I watched Mm-mm. the crap out of that. Like,
it was a great show.
I was when you had first told me that or had told that story, I was really surprised because that was
yeah.
Really
I would
cool.
come home from school.
I loved watching that thing.
Oh, it was great. You'd watch like DuckTales, Tailspin, G.I. Joe, like all that stuff was on, and then Commander Mark would come on mm-hmm. on PBS, and
I
he would teach you
that.
How to draw.
Yeah, it was so
you had to switch
cool.
over to PBS. So he'd teach you how to draw, and he did a thing where he would travel around to elementary schools. My mom was a secretary at one that he came to.
Oh, cool.
And I remember running over there like with my portfolio. I finally got to meet Commander Mark, like my hero. And I showed him my portfolio, and he's like, wow, your stuff's really good. I'm doing a new like drawing book. I'd love it if you help me. And so he would send over like, it's like, you know, one of these, like a book this thick about like instructional drawing, like one of those like, draw this line, mm-hmm. now draw this line. Now it's a boat, like one of those things, right? And so he would do it all in pencil, and I would ink. I inked every page, and I drew the cover.
That's awesome.
And I remember my high school teacher, it was my senior year in high school, he let me for that class, that art class, I just worked on that book. Like, he didn't have me do anything else. I would just come into that mm-hmm. class, and I would work on that book all for an hour, and I'd work on it at home. And I got, I got to hang out with my hero, Commander Mark. It was pretty cool, like.
How much did you get paid for that one?
$200.
No, I got a fax machine so I could fax him to work after I was done. and, Jesus, I don't know. I think it may have been $1,000.
That's pretty good for a kid.
It's pretty good for, yeah, for like a high school kid, I remember.
For a high school kid, that's like, might as well be 10 grand.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
It was a ridiculous amount of work.
And back then, $1,000 was a
lot. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, at that time, I was also working at a golf course. So, like, I had one job where I got to draw and get paid, and my other job was people hitting golf balls at my face. So I was like, which one of these do I want to do for the rest of my life?
That was an easy choice.
Yeah.
I had a lot of teachers like that, too. That was like, I feel like that was very crucial in my growing up the way I did.
Good teachers.
Yeah. And I remember there was always the handful of kids that liked art, but always, always, always butted heads with the art teachers because they were the kids that liked art but didn't like critiques.
Sure.
And any good art teacher was always critical. And the kids that couldn't separate like their work from their person, where like them saying, this is okay, but here's how I'd improve it, saying like, you're bad
right.
because you made this. I remember like loving my art teacher and having like other kids in my class being like, I hate that bitch, you know, just because.
That's why all artists nowadays are so fucked up.
Because yeah.
the art teachers yeah.
they didn't like,
suck.
They didn't like how, well, I mean, I wanted a critique. I didn't want them to just say like, sure. you met these 8 criteria. It includes a cloud, a bowl of fruit, and a, you know,
yeah.
uses color. Like I wanted to know like, well, is it good or bad? Like, I mean, that's what makes you a good artist is knowing what you're doing wrong. And I had an art teacher that would, she was the kind of art teacher where our budget would run out of yellow paint 3 months into the school year, and she'd buy it out of pocket for the rest of the year and not tell anybody. She was cool too, like that, where she'd let me do like my own little projects and stuff instead of what we were doing in class. If she knew it was something that like I was already experienced in, or I'd taken art history as an elective when I was in 10th grade. And that was what was called like the senior sleeper class, where it was a throwaway credit that seniors would take because it never filled up. And they would just sleep through the class because they knew even if they failed, they just needed something to choose to get them through high school. And so there would honestly be classes where either half of the students didn't show up, and the ones that had showed up were all seniors and like literally asleep. Like she didn't care. She was like, I know why you're here. If you're going to do it, fine. And so it would just be like her and I and like one other student as the only people awake. And she just basically teaches whatever we wanted to know about like in art history and stuff. And for that reason, I loved art history.
Wow.
What was her name?
I actually don't remember.
Oh,
that's
what?
What's so upsetting. I know. It was at Palmyra High School, and I blocked out most of my experience there.
When,
I liked school,
when,
but I didn't like students.
When was that?
So if I was in 10th grade, so that would have been 2002, I guess?
I didn't find that class, it was Mr. Estes, until senior year, like the last semester.
Yeah.
Like I would have been...
Well, 2010
that would
ended
have
up
changed,
being my senior year.
That would have changed, how I would have perceived school had I... Had found that class earlier because Mr. Estes was amazing.
I had that teacher in middle school too, the one that let me do my own art projects.
It didn't. He turned it not into a class and more of like a, almost like a mentorship.
Mm. Yeah.
And it wasn't specifically art. It was called humanities, mm-hmm. which was more about how art affects society, culture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was like art history. I still have the textbook. It wasn't really a textbook. It was called the Annotated Mona Lisa,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a very well designed art history book, but it wasn't boring.
Yeah.
Lots of imagery. And I don't know, maybe this teacher also hung out with my uncle in college in the late 60s. So there was a lot of partying, so maybe that had a that had a lot to do with his connection to me. But he was super cool and super laid back. And he understood what I wanted to do. And for the final project that I had for that class, I did an interactive kiosk in Director
yeah.
wow.
in 1994.
Yeah.
I remember my grandpa driving to the high school to bring my computer to set it up for that presentation. I don't regret that class. I regret that it came so late.
Yeah.
Because it was so amazing.
We had good teachers like that at Full Sail too. Like, because Levin had said he'd used, you'd obviously used Illustrator and Photoshop before. Photoshop more,
no,
I guess.
Photoshop,
oh yeah,
yeah,
before you'd gone to Full Sail. And I knew Photoshop, a little HTML, and I was like, super familiar with Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, basically each month was a different application. So it would be like, okay, next month is Photoshop, month after that is Illustrator, and you would learn the program as you were completing your final project for that month. And when I got to Flash class, it was clear that I wasn't going to get anything out of it. Like, everything that they were teaching was all the things I already knew. And, you know, my lab instructors realized that. And so they would sit, one of them, God, I can't remember, I think it was Dan Snyder, something like that his name was. I can't remember now. But he would sit next to me in lab and teach me complex programming logic.
Like advanced stuff?
Yeah, he taught me how to do like case statements and for loops. He taught me like...
Oh, those are the best loops.
He taught me basically like the backbone of...
Technically, I can do L statements.
He taught me the backbone of the higher. Programming that I now do in like, you know...
It's one level higher.
Every application.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I would have just continued to learn how to make buttons and make a tween animation, and I knew that. So they were really cool where if they... saw that you were proficient in something, they didn't just like let you coast. They wanted to make sure that you were, you know.
Yeah, in junior high, I was drawing for the junior high paper, making comic books, and that was sort of what, that was my thing in school. Like, I was known as the quiet kid who drew. And so I felt like that was my identity. Like, I'm the artist guy. I'm the artist kid. Like, I can do this. So when I got to high school, my first year, I had a commercial art class, Mr. Strand. And I got there early because it was like first period class, and I got in early. And I had brought my portfolio. And then, so he's there, and I said, hey, I'm in your class. I'm really excited. And he goes, okay. And I go, this is the kind of thing I like to draw. And I open it up, and I've got like my X-Men drawings.
And this is commercial art.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Is, yeah.
I've got like
okay.
X-Men. It's like this yeah. whole picture of all the X-Men.
Right.
And he looks at it, and he goes, composition isn't very good. And I was like, oh. Well, I've got this drawing of Wolverine that I'm very proud of. And he goes, yeah. And that's when I knew, like, all right, this is going to be tough. And he was super tough. Like, I think that, you know, he sensed that I liked art, and he pushed me in a lot of directions that, like, he taught me how to make fonts, like, taught me all the stuff that I never would have cared about before. And I'm super glad he did. Like, it was just great.
Yeah, that's when you, like, that light bulb goes off where you realize that, like, art is more than the paintings that you see in a museum.
Right.
When you're a kid and you're trying to figure out how to make a career out of something, and you don't know what a, like, I mean, web designer didn't really even exist then. I didn't even know to think of something like that. But like, you know, you don't look at a logo on something and think, like, look at a Pepsi can and go, well, somebody had to make that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get that far ahead.
For me, I just assumed comic books. Like, I never even thought of cartoonists as a job for some reason.
Yeah,
like,
I
saw the papers.
Garfield comics, didn't think you could do that for a living.
In my mind, like, as a young person, I can remember thinking, these are the comics. You know what I mean? Like, these are the comics. These are the people that make them. There's no new ones.
Yeah.
Like, Garfield, Peanuts, BC, like, because for most of my childhood, like, that was it.
Yeah. There's no room.
Yeah. And those were the comics, and people made them, and that's great. But you can't do that. Like,
I didn't consider their origin.
Yeah, I didn't
either. I basically
either.
Read like, as a little kid, I read like Garfield, Calvin and Hobbes, and Farside. And then when I grew up and got into basically everything that Oni Press would put out and the Tank Girl book series by Titan Books. And like, I never even thought to think about the fact that like the names on these books are the people who wrote and drew this. I just...
But how could you have not thought about Disney?
You know, I had an animation phase where I thought that maybe that's what I wanted to do. And I got a book on animation, and I sat down and did like my walk cycles and stuff like that. And, I just didn't have the patience for it at all. Like it was a fantasy for like, I remember there's a couple months there one summer where I was like,
maybe because back then there wasn't manga, anime,
no
comics, online comics. I mean, all we had was
eventually,
comic books or Disney.
Yeah, eventually our VHS shot by us got a Japanimation section.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I did not have that stuff early on. But yeah, I remember I made a little walk cycle of like a dog, and I was like, that's fucking bullshit. That took me months. Like, and he just walks. Like, no way, I'm never going to do that again. But then, you know, I did comics for the school paper, and I remember my senior year, I drew a comic for the final issue of the senior paper. And now it's pretty simplistic, but like at the time, I remember thinking, "Oh my god, I nailed it! Like, this is so powerful." I had like a sophomore and a junior, like They actually were kids that said sophomore and junior on their t-shirt in classic political cartoon style. And they had chains on them, and they were weighed down in school, and they couldn't do anything, right? And then the senior had thrown his chains off, and he was escaping, except that he was escaping off a ledge. Like, he didn't see it, but he was like, so long, suckers. He was walking off a ledge. And I was like, yeah, I got it.
So and deep.
I know. Yeah, like, for a high school kid, I felt pretty good about
pretty
that.
Pretty good, yeah.
And Mr. Ketchum, I remember my teacher's names.
Ash Ketchum?
No, Mr. Ketchum. He was not a Pokemon trainer.
Did he teach you how to catch them all?
He did not. He was not a Pokemon. He did let us play Myst in class, though.
Did Mr. you also Ketchum, have Professor Oak?
No.
Okay.
Just Mr. Ketchum, who was a journalism teacher, said, I handed him the cartoon, and he goes, he like actually touched me, which teachers don't do a lot. And he said, you have to do this. Like, he said, this is what you have to do. And I like, that set me off, right? Like, I was like, oh, yeah. Political cartoons. That's what I have to do.
Awesome. You just got stuck on that one thing.
Yeah, I did political cartoons, and I would submit them to the Spokesman Review, like the paper over there. And
I think he meant art in general.
He did. Yeah. I wasn't clear, though, about that. I really specifically thought he meant black and white shitty political cartoons.
You know, it's funny that you say that, like you joke about saying, oh, I became an artist to get girls. Because I remember in elementary school, like there's this kid that like he'd always draw like Looney Tunes and stuff like that, and all the girls.
And you beat him up.
Oh, draw me this, draw me this. And I'm just sitting there looking at him like, this motherfucker. And I was so jealous. I was like, man, I want
to
do that.
See, I had that too, but people would ask me to draw Doug. I was super good at drawing Doug and Skeeter as a kid. I could have dated those girls.
I had guys ask me to draw naked girls. Which
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why, but nice. This was in junior high school when, you know, naked girls were pretty.
Hey, we did not have the internet.
No, we didn't. No. It was like imagination. Like,
yeah, you know. Porn was not something that was easily accessible.
Just to be clear, like,
so
it wasn't that big of a difference.
So there was,
I didn't have the internet.
I was
for,
dumb
like,
enough though that
messenger.
I would sign them, right?
Oh my god!
Because I was really proud of them. So this one kid was like, "I need you to draw me a naked girl." And we rode the same bus, right? And so we always sat
like
in the same place.
They slide you a dollar like, hey, draw me this.
That's what they would do. And so I
you
drew
were
this,
a professional pornographer.
I was. I drew this naked woman. Amazing recreation. Folded it up. I signed it Mike. Signed
anatomically
it up,
accurate.
Signed it up, you know, folded it up really tight. And I tucked it into the seat that I know he sits on in the bus. Like God. Between the
wow.
seat and the
like
window.
A drug deal?
Tucked it in there.
Some
and I went
cloak
to
and
where
dagger
I sit,
shit.
Right? And then... Because I knew he rode the bus like the next day he was going to ride it. Nobody else would find it. The next day I'm coming onto the bus and the bus driver stops me and he goes, Mike. And I said, yeah? And he goes, one of the kindergartners that rides the bus found a drawing.
Oh, no.
An inappropriate drawing had your name on it. Do you know anything about that? And I was like, absolutely not.
No,
I
not
would,
at all.
I would never draw anything like that. And there happened to be another Mike that rode the
oh
bus.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah. And
you literally threw him under the bus.
I did throw him under the bus. And I said, it wouldn't be me. Absolutely was not me. I mean, I lied through my teeth. And he goes, all right, must be the other Mike then. I don't know what happened to that Mike, but I assume he's in jail.
He's never seen again.
He's probably in prison at this point.
It went on his permanent record. Let's just
oh, absolutely.
We know
child
that
pornography?
For sure.
Yeah.
That's not right.
But no, I drew quite a few naked ladies for people.
Do you remember when you learned that permanent record was not a real thing and that was just like this? Yeah. It's basically like the Santa Claus of high school to keep you on track.
Yeah.
Where it was like, well, Santa won't bring you presents when you're a little kid. Now it's that's going to go on your permanent record. God damn it.
I'm going to keep that alive, though, for my kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good
you
one.
Have to. Tradition.
So, yeah, I was a full pornographer.
Pornography.
So you got into art via pornography. I got into
so
art
that's why
via
you were mad about the $100
you got into art.
For that billboard when you're like, I get paid more.
Yeah, come on, man.
Oh, man.
So, Levin, you started drawing because you wanted attention like the other guy?
Well, no, I actually, I remember when like there was like a school election and he, you know, obviously the girls were like, oh, draw me a poster. And yeah. I drew a couple like, you know, the, I think it's 7-Up school spot, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is so sick. It's just a circle.
No, it was a circle with sunglasses.
Sunglasses, yeah.
And
yeah.
Mickey Mouse hands and feet.
And it was, yeah. It was a campaign like, hey, vote for this person to be cool or something like that.
Wait, did you use the 7-Up character as the O's in the word cool?
No. He was the main focus. No, yeah. No. I knew back then that design, you know, focus.
Yeah, I had 1 year in high school. The cheerleaders came to me via their, you know, representative or whatever to draw some kind of dance, card, like they were, you know, getting out flyers, and they wanted me to draw the cover, and I just told them to fuck off. Like, I probably could have at some point tried to use that to my advantage.
But that sounds more like graphic design.
Oh, yeah. Well, they wanted, like, a cartoon drawing of, like, people dancing.
You've already been scorned by them at that point, right?
Oh, absolutely. I hated everyone by high school.
So now you're like, why would I do anything for you ever?
Yeah. Anytime they tried to get me to draw anything for ASB, anything for the school, I told them to eat dick.
I had the opposite. I was just unknown.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't bullied. I just sort of kept quiet. I was quiet and nice. So that's who I was.
Yeah.
That changed. So I did like t-shirts for the drumline.
Right,
and
right.
Anytime anyone asked me to do anything, I did it.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't hate people.
I wonder what that would have been like.
another thing I just remembered is from fifth grade onward until I went to college, I lived in the same house. That was like the longest I'd ever lived in one place. And I was allowed to draw my walls. There's one wall in my room that was only primed. And so I could draw however much, whatever I wanted on that wall. And that was something that...
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that was something that my mom did because her mom did that for her brother. My uncle was always really into art, but ended up like... He didn't do it as a career because I think it was just harder than...
Yeah.
You know, but... I always wanted to do a lot of art stuff because of him. And I remember drawing pictures for him, you know, trying to impress him and stuff. But so, yeah, because my Nana let him draw on the wall, I was allowed to draw on my walls. And so that was
cool. That for the boys. They can draw on the walls in their room.
And that was before, like, chalkboard paint or anything like that. Now it's even easier.
I wasn't able to draw on the walls, but they bought me paint for windows.
Ooh,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
So I did. I remember a specific memory of my bedroom window having a Tetris pattern on the back.
I thought you meant, like, MS Paint for windows.
I felt like a celebrity when in, like, God, it had to be, like, sixth grade. Our school got to, every year, they picked students to paint the windows of the post office for Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, me and three other students. And I had this, I can't remember either of my art teacher's names. It's so sad. But my middle school art teacher, who, like, was absolutely phenomenal. She chose me and, like...
Apparently not phenomenal enough, though.
Choose me and two other girls in our class, and we got to paint the windows.
That's pretty cool.
And, like, paint whatever we wanted. Like, we came up with it. So I did, like, a little chimney with, like, a cat coming out of it because all I cared about was cats, and had, like, little stockings and a fireplace and stuff. So we got to do that. And I remember driving by, you know, the post office thinking, like, yeah.
Like, God, that reminds me. Deal. Like, early high school, like, in between middle school and high school, my parents were trying to figure out what I should do with this.
Yeah.
This window art painting? Talent and seriously window painting is gonna have a long career as
a letterer?
A window painter, like, at supermarkets.
Window painting.
Oh yeah,
and that's the only thing they can think of.
They actually
but
had
that
me
would be
talk
a super
to
cool job.
It would be
an actual
hand.
Window painter.
Oh,
and it turns out you don't make that much money. No.
Yeah, my dad suggested window painting and also car detailing. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like pinstriping?
Yeah, like my first my first car he bought me was a little brown Toyota, like, Tercel, like a little hatchback thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little brown car, and so I called it, like, the Tasmanian Devil, and I actually painted, like, I did some pinstripes with a Tasmanian Devil on the back, and it looked rad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "That's finally, thank God, finally, that's what you can do. You can paint on cars."
Oh, thank
Eureka!
God. Yeah.
He just, like, lets out this huge breath.
And I was like, "No, Dad, I don't want to paint. I don't want to paint on cars for the rest of my life."
But have you seen these pinstriping videos?
Oh, they're
on
amazing.
YouTube?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
mine did not look like that.
No.
Pinstriping and, like, window painting and window lettering, that is like a
that's a special
art form
skill.
All its
like
own.
It's it's super special now, but back when we looked
hand.
At it,
when you see the guys doing it freehand, it's just sick.
Yeah.
I picture Mike, like, at the street corner with his little wooden setup and just says, "I'll paint your car."
I'll totally paint your car.
$5. You guys said the first time, like, you saw your work, I guess in public or whatever, like, you saw it on a bus, you saw it at PAX. What was yours, Erica?
Mine? The first time that I...
saw that your work was...
that you're like...
was making a huge impact.
I did something.
Outside the post office.
I'm made.
you know when it was? When I went to Full Sail, they had one of the classes was After Effects. And I am such a stubborn, like, I've always been a stubborn brat. But if somebody tells me I can't do something, then exactly what I'm going to do then.
Yeah.
And I remember they had told us that we needed to make a video in After Effects of whatever we wanted, but that it had to be 15 to 30 seconds long. And I was like, I want to make a music video. And they were like, that's too ambitious. Just stick to something that's 30 seconds long. And I'm like, no, I'm going to write a song. I'm going to record it. I'm going to film it. And I'm going to make a music video. And the neighbor that I had at the time at the apartment that I lived at was a sound engineer going to school at Full Sail. So he helped me record it. And I filmed it on one of the Full Sail cams. And I made like a 2-minute or something like that music video. And Full Sail used it from then on out as like a example of
Like what our students can do.
Yeah, of wow. like of like student work. And I know you had examples of that too. A lot of both of our pieces were mm-hmm. used around the school. So you'd just be like walking through one of the halls, and one of the big monitors would have like your shit up on it. So that was cool. I think that was the first thing that I remembered where I was like, yeah, like I really feel proud of that. And it was specifically because like they told me I was too ambitious and that just drove me to do everything that I could. Like I probably worked like 120 hours a week to get that done.
Jeez.
But it was like, it felt so good to have it be worth it.
I forgot they did that.
Yeah.
Like it's funny cause I prior to working for Full Sail, I had work like that also published and stuff like that. But then once I got to Full Sail, I was like, I'm just going to put all my work in there anyway. And so it's all my shit like all over the place. But like the actual time that I thought that like, you know, wow, this is amazing. I worked on a campaign for Full Sail, just promoting the courses and stuff like that. And it was like, I'm sure you've seen the photos where the guys with the controller backwards and stuff like that. And there's like shit fluttering on their heads.
Right.
Like I was working on that campaign. Oh. I didn't take those photos though. Like I was given those photos.
Oh,
anyway. And I'm like, why is this backwards? And but anyways,
that was you? That's incredible.
And then one of the
those ran in like Game Informer and stuff
Yeah. In Game Informer. It wasn't like, and I was also one of the models too. And I had to work on myself. I was like, this is retarded.
The story gets better because one of them that he was, because I did photos for Full Sail too. They wanted to do photo shoots for the school for like their new materials, and they always wanted the like alternative looking kids. And so you were brown, and I had spiky hair and was a girl. And so
you were brown.
Well, let's be honest. That's why we both got picked. I was some alternative looking chick, and they didn't have a lot of girls at the time. Like we were vastly, vastly outnumbered. I was one of like three in my class of 50. And they would give you like iTunes gift cards to come in for like a couple hours and have him take photos. So there's a photo that Levin did where he's in it.
Yeah, and when I saw it, I was like, this is dumb, but this is also right.
Yeah,
like,
so this was this was for game design program, and it was in Nintendo Power.
Nintendo Power.
Oh, wow.
And I have like, the issue.
Do you really have to bring it in?
No, I have it. It's in my office.
Oh, I guess
it's got, what is it, Dialga on the front?
Oh.
Yeah, so it's that. That's when that version of Pokemon came out.
Diamond.
Yeah. So I have the issue with little like
I'm in the
20-year-old
like.
Levin with sunglasses on too.
Oh.
I kept that issue. I've had it forever just because I thought it was too funny.
The moment that I was talking about the PAX 10 logo, that was the moment of seeing it big, like something you make super big.
Mm.
But the first like oh wow, what the fuck moment was seeing one of my first game skins t-shirts on somebody's TV show.
Oh, that's awesome.
I remember getting an email from a production assistant for the show Felicity, and they were asking, like, she said that one of the producers wanted to use one of my shirts in one of the episodes, and asking for permissions and how to work that out. I ended up talking by email with the producer, who happened to be J.J. Abrams.
What?
Yeah. This is back
during
Felicity was his show.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was before he got like super big.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's his email? You still have it?
You still have it?
I've searched far and wide to try and recover that email.
Hey, I don't know if you remember me. My name is Kiko.
But he was super nice.
Keep48@hotmail.com.
He was super nice. We only traded like 2 or 3 emails, but he was telling me stories about how in college they had like these little print your own t-shirt kits, and he would make t-shirts with his friends, and just talking about video games and stuff. And he was super nice, and I had no idea who he was.
Yeah. He wasn't really anybody.
He wasn't really anybody then. Yeah, then, awesome. But so we worked it out. The Roots T-shirt was on for an episode on like one of the main characters, and it was an episode where I guess it was a blackout. So they didn't change their clothes throughout the entire episode. Yeah. So the shirt was all over that episode. Wow, and seeing that was super cool.
That's awesome.
And, you know, all of a sudden J.J. Abrams like ruling
there's a couple the world now. Like that. It's such a great feeling to see your work like that.
I think one of the most like now as where I am now in my career, one of the most incredible things was I'd never traveled internationally before PAX Australia last year. And so going to Australia, I was terrified of flight. I was terrified to go there, you know. And then getting there and getting to a place that you'd never been to on the other side of the globe where people were happy to see you that you didn't know.
Sure.
That was like, there's no way to describe that feeling. Like to go somewhere and not feel like a stranger where you've absolutely no idea where you are or how you got there, and now people are like wearing something that you made and they want to meet you and they're happy to see you and they want to talk to you. Like that was such a welcoming, awesome feeling, like even more so than like going to PAX Prime or going to PAX East, because those places still existed in my mind. Like Boston existed before I went there, but like Australia could have been the moon. That was just incredible.
Yeah, I think like the majority of the stuff that I that I'm like most proud of, or even like just it's kind of mind-blowing to think about, was my work I did in LA. Like one of it being we got the rights to redesign the Discovery logo. Like back then it wasn't 3D and stuff like that.
Oh, huh.
And it was just flat. And so we actually made the world. And I created the texture for that world.
Did you really?
Shut up.
I swear to God.
No.
I swear to God, yeah.
For that
for that final that world render. So whenever I'm watching Discovery Channel, I'm like, yes.
That's crazy.
I swear to God, yeah.
Well, tell me about the Sweet and Sticky tour.
Oh, yeah, the Sweet and Sticky tour, but it was Madonna's tour. And, like, I got to do, well, actually, my concept was picked for the video that shoots behind her.
Oh,
For the song Vogue.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, to see, like, on... like videos of her standing in front of like my work. I'm just like, dude,
that's amazing.
That is awesome.
Do you remember that Melbourne, the city of Melbourne made that bitchin' reel for PAX?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I made that logo and it's all super slick. It's like coming out of the ocean. And
You didn't see that?
No, they did. They went.
Yeah.
Like high budget
animation
promoting PAX Australia.
Wow.
I love that style, because they put this like live action and they put like pixel animation art like integrated into it. It looks really cool.
You guys, have you seen Penny Arcade?
It's pretty great.
I made that. So
is it like you own an arcade or?
No, I mean, I do too.
What to you is the greatest like moment in terms of the execution of your art or seeing it somewhere in the same guise as, you know, what we described?
That's a good question.
I mean, because your shit's everywhere.
My shit's all over this fucking in this table.
Like, we're looking at it right
sitting
now.
Sitting at a table
my
with
Pepsi
my
Pepsi can is sitting on top.
Ingrained in this table with hardwoods. I don't know.
There was never anything that's like, wow. Like
there's been a ton of wows.
Oh, yeah, I know,
the problem.
But
like,
none of them stand out. They just happen so often.
They happen so frequently. I'm constantly amazed by my own success.
Well, what did it feel like for you for the first Make a Strip panel where someone's watching you draw on this huge screen?
That was scary. That was absolutely scary.
It's not. It obviously wasn't the same thing, but
yeah. I mean, for me, that first PAX where we had banners made. And they actually got stolen that year.
Oh, yeah.
But they were like, you know, big 8-foot-tall banners with Gabe and Tycho and stuff.
Oh, no,
on.
They were there. I think they were bigger.
Were
ones,
they bigger
right?
than that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember like walking into that convention center and seeing those banners hanging up on the walls, like
that
alongside video game, like
that,
real game.
You
banners.
Felt that.
I felt that absolutely. Uh-huh. That was huge. But then, yeah, like I don't know. The first time, you know, when I got to do that cover for that D&D book, like
that was a big deal.
Huge, like. Mm-hmm. It's just been a bunch of really Remember the very first Penny Arcade Presents we did was for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon game, which I doubt anyone even remembers that game. But in my mind, it was like, I get to make an official Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon comic, right? Yeah, I don't know. It's just been a series of... My life has been a series of amazing, amazing things.
Your life has just been one big boulevard of...
Yeah, I close my eyes and point, and that's my favorite one.
Like, I had done shirts for being hired on here, doing shirts for actual games, which was something I was never able to really do at GameSkins. But it was one thing to do shirts for actual games, but it was another one to do a shirt for a game that I really was super excited about.
Oh.
And the Bayonetta shirt.
The Bayonetta, yeah,
was
I remember that.
Super awesome.
Yeah. It was like when I got to do the Zelda project, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like we've all had some.
When you were able to do Skyward Sword, I mean, you were on the moon for a month.
I was, yes.
Anyways, it's cool to work at Penny Arcade.
It is.
End of story.
I love I love when we go to PAX and I'll be walking down the hall and, you know, if people aren't really paying attention, I'm just kind of walking, looking at people. I got my backpack on.
Mm-hmm.
And looking in front and you just see the Penny Arcade logo, you know, on the backs of all the shirts.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, it just feels really good.
It does.
You see people like, they're just wearing your stuff. Like, it just feels really good.
Weird.
Making art, you know.
Some of the friends I've been making recently.
Callum.
What the hell was that?
it registered what he said at the end there.
I've been making like, I made a couple new friends recently and they are
nice,
not familiar.
Nice, Erica, that's awesome.
They're not familiar with
Bravo.
Penny Arcade.
Wow. Good job.
They're not familiar
I'm
with Penny Arcade.
Happy
for and they kind of know what PAX is, but like they don't know. And it's like, it's not hard to describe in like trying to describe what we do. Obviously that's hard. That's always been hard, but it's hard to describe because I don't want to sound like an asshole.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like you want to, but you know, people naturally when you're meeting someone, you're talking about what they do, what they're into and stuff like that. And it's like, well, it's like, oh, how'd you go to Australia? I was through work and it's like, oh, you got to go to Hawaii before? Like,
yeah,
a vacation with my
draw stuff.
My office and it's weird. Like, I'm humbled to work here, but it's very weird when people ask you, you know, what's it really like to work there? I'm like, it's just as great as you think, probably better. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what you want to hear. I don't know how to answer this without sounding like a tool, but I'm really thankful. Thank you for supporting us to let us do this.
Imagine the best job you could dream of, and then it's better than that.
And then
that's
add
probably
10.
What it is. Yeah.
Add 10 to it.
Add a donut and 10.
Pretty great.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
You think that's
Let's
good,
wrap it up.
Josh?
So, in closing,
art.
Yeah.
Do
all right. Do art.
Art.
Yeah.
Right. Every day.
Yeah.
All
do
time.
Art. Maybe something magical will happen. Or not.
Maybe not. I go in. Oh, no, I'm not gonna tell another story.
We'll do art. We'll do art part two.
Art part
make
two.
Make art and find other people that make art.
Do
and
art.
Make art with them.
Yeah.
I was gonna. Never mind.
All right. If you guys have any questions, topics, or anything you want us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.